You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I hope everyone is doing well. This is a leftovers episode. And so for those of you that don't know, sometimes we get these leftovers episodes when my conversation with a specific guest, usually a guest that I really love, just goes on for a long time. We're talking like hour and a half plus, and I don't want to edit out all of these amazing things they're saying. Sometimes we go way off the topic of beauty, but they're just like good little morsels that I just want to make sure that you guys hear, but I wasn't able to fit into the full episode. So this is a little bit of my conversation with Bianca Sia. If you guys missed the full episode with her, definitely go back and listen to it. She's fascinating, has such a great background, great personality, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. But yeah, let's get into this leftovers chat with Bianca and I from our original conversation. Thank you guys so much for listening and supporting the show at Naked Beauty Planet on Instagram. I'm at Brooke Devard on all platforms. And please take the time to rate and review the podcast if you love it as well. All right. Thanks, guys.
Today's episode of Naked Beauty is made possible with support from my friends at Macy's. And before my summer travel hits, I need to get a new carry-on. My old one just is not doing the trick anymore. And thankfully, Macy's has the lowest prices of the season sale. It's here. You can shop online at Macy's.com or in-store April 9th to the 14th. These are the lowest prices you are going to find all year long. So head on over to Macy's.com for 40 to 60% off. Up to 75% off for home and luggage. This is really incredible prices. All right, let's get back into the episode.
The Run for Revogue is where you'll meet all the most exciting people in fashion and culture.
I am Fran Lebowitz, who should be the mayor of New York.
We all support that.
We support that.
Very nice.
Nikki.
Yes.
It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
All right, Usher, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
All right, here we are.
On the podcast, you'll learn how Vogue really works.
Sometimes we'll come in for a second or even third run through until we are AWOK.
Can you tell us what AWOK means?
It means AWOK, Anna Wintour OK.
I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mel.
And we're the hosts of The Run Through with Vogue, where fashion and culture collide.
Join us. It's AWOK.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, speaking of sexuality,
let's go.
You know, I listened to the podcast for a long time, audio only. Then I went to YouTube and I saw the amount of comments about your breasts are... It's honestly unbelievable, Bianca, the amount of people that are, I mean, you've got great breasts, you know, they're beautiful, but is it weird for you to have so much like hyper attention and focus on your breasts, or are you used to it? So I am like an A cup, but now that I'm pregnant, I'm like, I've graduated to a B cup. So I'm like, oh my God,
you know. Do you feel like, not meaning like your relationship with your body? I know you're pregnant, but I know friends who had small breasts, and then when they got pregnant, they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's great. I wish that my breasts were like this all the time. You know, I can't relate to what it's like for you. I can only imagine that it's wonderful. It's
having a larger chest is something that I've always wanted, you know, because it's like, you know, you always want what you can't have.
Of course, grass is always greener.
So you're always like, oh my gosh, if I could just have like cleavage, or there's certain tops that I look at, like if I could just fill this out, like it'd be so cute. So that hasn't been my life. That hasn't been my life journey. But for you, like, one, is having so much attention on like a singular body part, but two, is it something like, since puberty, have you had, like, did it happen gradually, so you had time to get used to all of this attention?
Well, there's a few part question here. We're going to start from puberty. So this is my secret. This is going to be this is my breast growing secrets. I was in like the back of this library when I was a kid, like right before I hit puberty. And you know, you look at through sex books, you're like, yeah, oh my God, penis. And they're like so sterile,
the internet, though.
Yeah. I'm like in the Dewey Decimal System, like, like finding a book. And there was this book about sex, and it was a very old book. And it was very sterile. It was nothing sexual. It was just talking about biology, essentially. And it was like in my head, it's British, but it wasn't. I was just reading it. It was like, to promote proper breast growth. But it said basically to promote breast growth when your breasts are coming in. They called them breast bulbs. When your breast bulbs are forming, massage them in circular motions every night. And you know, when your breasts are forming, they're like hard and they feel like a, you know, when a, like a bruise forms immediately, they're just like hot and hard and they're not fun. So I just massage them every goddamn night when I was a kid.
Really?
Like not just like, I was like, gotta massage the breast bulbs. Because I remember thinking, like, just fill up my hand. That's all I need. And then they grew and they filled up my hand. I'm like, a little more. Come on. And my friend likes to say, you have small breasts. She's like, listen, more than a handful is a waste. And I was like, oh, I'm so wasteful. So
me and my breasts.
us three in quarantine. So my boobs did grow and they became big. My mom also has size like G or H.
Okay. I was going to say, it has to be genetic.
She has huge, but hers are gigantic. And she has permanent bruises here from her bra strap.
Oh my God.
She has, they're as big as my head. They're as big as a basketball, one of them. Hey, mom. And so once I did get breasts, it was nice because it does help you as a kid. You're like, ooh, these are the woman things we're supposed to have. And mine's developed finally, you know, so that kind of helps with your confidence. But you have a lot of time to learn what you're doing and what is wrong, and like wear a little too tiny of a top and then you get really weird attention. You're like, never doing that again, you know.
Right.
So you have, I was telling my friend who has very small breasts and she got breast implants to almost a D, and I told her, I'm like, the problem is now you're in your late 20s and you didn't have that period of figuring out how to dress your boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And you dress in little tiny clothes. I'm like, it's just not going to fly. You look sluttier. You just do. Not by my standard, but when you have more skin of your boob showing in the under curve, it looks less cute. And it does look a little, you can feel a little bit more revealing. So grass is always greener, Brooke. There's plenty of tops where I'm like, fuck, I can't wear that. I can't, if I drop a pen, like nip slip. But the attention I get on the podcast, our podcast is like 80% men. It's like you and 12 other girls hanging in there. I love my female feelers. I respond to all of them. I love them very much. But it's a comedy podcast and comedy is very dominated by men and male listeners. And it's nice that they call them dem. Yes. So it's not like, young titties, on point. You know, it's not like, it's like, cool, if we're gonna be gross, let's just have a code word. But I don't think it's something I can control. It's not something I say. It's not something I've promoted. So I don't know. I think I don't really concentrate on it as much because I get bad comments too. So if you take them all in,
yeah,
it's gonna be a lot. So I'm just kind of like, I do look at comments as almost not my business. You know, if you want to talk to me, it's easy to talk to me. You can write in the podcast.
Right.
But outside of that, social media, internet culture is very, it's like I'm talking at you. It's like a zoo. It's like, oh, look at this. I didn't like what she said the other day. Or look at her boobs, you know? So there's something that it almost is not any of my business.
Yeah.
What someone thinks of me.
Totally.
And I really try to do it. I mean, what happens when you get comments or people disagree with you or something? I mean, your podcast is so lovely and positive.
I feel very lucky to have the audience that I have. But some people do disagree with me sometimes, and I just try to understand
you engage?
Where they're coming from. Yeah, absolutely. And understand where they're coming from and be more empathetic than anything. But it's very different than if people had feedback on my physical appearance.
Yeah.
Well, you said something that resonated with me so much about being sexualized at a young age. Like, I think you said something like the amount of attention I got from men when I was like 12 to like 16 was like more attention than I've gotten at any other like age period. Sure. And that's like, when you said that, I was thinking, because I grew up here in New York City. I wore a private school uniform, like a pleated skirt, to school every day. So it's not like they thought I was older. Like, men clearly knew I was in high school. But did that stop catcalling? And I graduated high school in 2007. I think catcalling is now like looked down on and doesn't happen.
In New York, though, still?
It happens. I mean, it still happens. Depends what neighborhood you're in. But it definitely, I can say, it happens less. But it is wild when you think about at what age as a young woman you understand that like grown men are sexualizing you. And I can imagine that like having breasts also adds to that considerably because people think you're older than you. It's just like a lot.
Yeah. I've never been approached with the same vigor as when I had a JanSport. And at the time you're young and you're just like, ew, you know, but deep down you're like, oh my God, a guy hit on me. Like every male experience is this like gem that you look at and you inspect and like, oh, what did that mean? And because you have such limited experience, but a lot of them were, even being a young woman or a bit naive when it comes to male experience, because we need it to understand it. You can still tell, like, no, sir, slowing down in your car while I have a soccer ball and cleats on. Like, get out of here. What do you want to do? It was weird. It was a lot of, but the funny thing is, it didn't process as creepy. It processed creepy, but in a different way when I was young.
Yes.
Whereas now I'd be like, leave those girls alone. I'm calling the cops. You know, I wasn't like that. I was like pretty cool. It was just like buzz off, dude, kick rocks. I'm like jailbait. Yeah. Whereas now I'm like, ye sickos, like a bunch of sickos. But that's why we were talking about kind of the Me Too movement. And it's like, point was that so many dudes do it. So many dudes. These weren't
date younger women.
Or just like
want younger women.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Kat called me at a young age that I think they all probably a fair bit had families.
Yeah.
Probably treat women perfectly fine in their face when they're around. Like, you know, it was this kind of like, I get away with it when no one's looking sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you're young. I also think guys don't do it to older women because they know they're going to get a piece of our mind. like even a young kid, I was walking to downtown LA because I live in Koreatown. So I always walk to my friend's house. And this little kid was skateboarding by me. And he was like, how old are you? I was like, absolutely not. No, little boy. No, you say hi.
Yeah.
How are you? And then you say your name. And then you ask me my name. And if I feel like telling you my name, I will. And if I don't, keep it moving. He was like, I'm Jacob. What's your name? I'm like, hi, Jacob. My name is Bianca. And he's like, how old are you? I'm like, Jacob. No, I'm not telling you. Buzz off, Jacob. Like, so it's not even like their age. It is the culture. It can happen. Yes. That was so rude. And that was still, he was like this. I think there's something in the water. It's not really it's not even about an age thing. I think we teach it to young men.
Totally.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.